podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Welcome, everyone, to the second edition of Chicks with Dig, brought to you by Boxing Asylum. I'm your host, Matt DiGiallinardo. Here we are, 1 week removed from the exceptional fight between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano in an atmosphere which can only be described as electric. In where they went and sold out Madison Square Garden after so many people said that it wasn't possible within women's boxing for them to be able to do that as the headliner. As soon as the entrances happened, you could tell that it was a special night. Amanda Serrano coming in with a whole lot of energy, just soaking it in, just kind of jumping, dancing her way down to the ring, real high energy. Katie Taylor, coming in a bit more subdued, a little bit more businesslike, coming out to her Christian song. Can't remember what the heck that was called. But as the people were screaming and cheering and the ref brought them together in the center of the ring, Amanda Serrano looked at Katie Taylor and said, "This is crazy." And it was. And from that point on, they proceeded to put on one heck of a show. In a fight that really could have gone either way, these women went to war over 10 hotly contested rounds. The early rounds kind of take your pick as far as what your flavor was on it. With Serrano landing more to the body, Taylor more up top, working off the back foot. But then in the fourth round, Amanda Serrano started taking over. Katie Taylor getting cut. In an incredible fifth round, Amanda Serrano throwing 114 punches in that fifth, absolutely blistering Katie Taylor's shots. Stunning display by Taylor just for not going down during such a barrage that she experienced during that tremendous fifth round. But even though Serrano still probably won the sixth, throwing that many punches definitely took out something from the gas tank of Amanda Serrano, and Katie Taylor clearly was able to win round 7, 8, and 9. As later on, she started to find success with maybe more of a looping right hand than the straight one that she normally throws, since when she couldn't exactly find her foot position, kind of coming over and throwing it around the guard of Serrano in a clever move showing her pedigree. And then in that 10th round, I think you got to possibly throw that in the round of the year discussion. Going to war, it seemed like both women were hurt during that round, with Taylor almost touching a knee in the last 10 seconds before coming up to exchange a few more shots with Amanda Serrano. It was just a tremendous fight. One judge going 96-94 for Serrano. And then you had 197-93 for Taylor, another 96-93 for Serrano. The sole judge to give a 10-8 round to Serrano in that incredible fifth. It was definitely a fight where the fighters rose to the occasion, which rarely happens when you get these super fights, as I guess the numbers definitely reveal that this was. And so many times we've been let down by lackluster fights and events when we've been sold that that it's a mega fight, it's an event, and both fighters are going to bring their best. Well, this time around, both fighters really did bring their best in a stunning display that is definitely going to be talked about for many years to come, and is going to be a catalyst, I believe, for more people getting involved in the sport. And we'll talk about that a bit later. But what an incredible fight. They're already talking about a rematch. I would love to see it. If they could end that boxing ban in Ireland that they've had, and optimistically everybody can get along, it would be incredible for Taylor to have what could honestly be her last fight back home in Ireland. It would be stunning, considering she started out having to, hide the fact that she was a female just to be able to compete and learn the sport of boxing where it was still illegal when she was a child. It's an incredible story where even though there was a win and a loss on the ledger, there were no losers in the ring, and incredible sportsmanship shown by both ladies. I think that, it's fun talking crap up, leading up into the fight and things like that. But after that final bell has rung, it's time to set that aside. And, they both showed that they understood that the moment was far bigger than both of them. It was incredible. I think forever on, their names will be hitched together. Every time you think Amanda Serrano, you're going to be thinking Katie Taylor and vice versa. That was a good one. And also on that card, we saw Franchon Cruz de Zern take a unanimous 10-round decision over Ilan Sidoros, in unifying the 168-pound division with Christina Hamer sitting in the background. You never know, she could hop into there. She's been fighting less than optimal opposition lately. But as far as this fight went, Franchon Cruz de Zern just threw an exceptional right hand all fight long. It was absolutely tremendous to see how she just beat up Sidoros with that right hand. She threw a hook a few times, but she definitely needs to work on that left hook. There's times in the exchanges when she was finishing up with a jab, when if she would have thrown a hook and turned it over, she would have been able to catch Sidoros even more often than she had. But all credit to Sidoros, who started her athletic career actually playing on the national soccer team. She's got an athletic background. Both of them, with limited experience as far as professional and amateur ranks go. But Cruz de Zern, she's really interesting at 168 pounds. She's working with Barry Hunter. She has good movement at times, working in and out, but she does square up, kind of step over herself at times. And she does get caught. She got buzzed in the fourth round by Sidoros, but she came back and probably won that round. She just showed a good ring IQ. She was using her jab to pick off Sidoros before she could shoot the right hand. Had showed excellent timing. With someone like Barry Hunter in your corner, you could go quite a ways. It'll be interesting to see if the winner of Savannah Marshall and Clarissa Shields, which is looking like it's going to be happening in the summer, will take on Franchon Cruz de Zern and try to take all of those belts at 168 pounds. I'm sure Franchon would love to get a little revenge on the Clarissa Shields, as much as she has respect for her. What a story that would be. Lose your debut fight to the Olympian in her debut, only to come back and defend your titles in what would end up probably being a very well-viewed match against her. I think that's a great story, and it would sell. So I'm looking forward to that for sure, and seeing where she might go from here. Sidoros just didn't have what it took, but she stood up to it all. She's got a good chin. She's a tough, tough gal. And, but she's up there in age. She's getting in her late 30s. So I don't know if she's got much left, but hey, she was on a great card, and she put on a great show for the people. Nothing to be ashamed of. Franchon Cruz de Zern, moves on. Let's see here. Jim McDonald says, Maddie, how many cod fillets can Terry Harper batter over 10 by 2 minute rounds? I don't know. I think that has to do with the kitchen setup. You know, it's going to be all about the professionalism of the kitchen, I think, at that point in time, Jim. But I do appreciate your question. Now, moving on, one of the fighters that is definitely one of the budding stars in the sport is sitting on the shelf for a little bit while. Speaking of Sunisa Estrada, in a dispute with Golden Boy, she has been offered multiple dates, and she's been turning them down in a dispute over money. Golden Boy trying to take the high road, not really wanting to comment on it. Quite a bit, but Estrada expecting more money. It's tough, you know. You got to have a dance partner, and unfortunately for her, there's no one that's really been built up to that degree. You know, they put some work into building up Amanda Serrano as a dance partner for Katie Taylor, and they were able to produce this event. Do something even half of that. They're going to have a quality dance partner for her. And you only get those big bucks if you're headlining the shows. It's a tough way up. But she's got a lot of potential as far as her star and also the ability. So hopefully she does not use this to stay out of the ring. And I'm looking at her, maybe because she's fought 105 to 112 and she's currently holding the title at 105. I would like her to go up and take on Evelyn Bermudez at 108 pounds, who is a unified champ there. I think that's a really good fight. And obviously all of these women are looking for decent paydays at this point in time. So it'll be interesting to see if they can find a fight like that for Sunisa, because it's a struggle for her at this point in time. She needs a dance partner. I hope she realizes that she has to recognize her real value. Taylor and Serrano produced, but there's just not another A side to go up against her, or even a high B side. So I think it's going to be a struggle for her to be able to get that at this point in time. But, you know, looking on into the growth of the sport, I think you have to look at how it's going to go from here. Is the key is going to be growing amateur programs. And when you consider that women's boxing wasn't even added to the Olympics until 2012, well, you have to look at it. There wasn't really a great pathway. There wasn't excellent development mechanisms in place for women's boxing. But now with the Olympics taking it on, there is. And that with that clear path now, you're going to see a greater development of these fighters. And I think that, obviously it's going to be more in the westernized countries and things like that. But I think that's one of the great things with globalism, is I think you'll see it expand, and we'll see fighters from all across the globe who are competing within women's boxing and doing it at a high level. And this growth is going to inspire the younger women and girls. We need them to take up the sport. And you have to look at, you know, a lot of the age of the current title holders and such in professional women's boxing, and they're older, because it's only recently that this has become a viable means to make a buck. So it's something that, even though there's older fighters now, these fighters that are in their 30s are inspiring these women in their teens right now, and maybe younger. You know, you got to think these girls sitting on daddy's lap, you know, 7 and 8 year olds watching, the Taylor Serrano fight and things of that nature. So that is definitely going to help, and it's a slow burn. It's going to take time, but these doors are opening as it's being proved, economically for promoters at this point in time. And within 10 years, the sport is going to be far more competitive. You're not going to see these divisions with less than 40 fighters competing and things like that. It's going to be a completely different story. And in 20 years, it's going to be getting closer to the men's sport. I'm not going to say it's going to be equivalent, but I'm going to say the competitive level is definitely going to be there. And the numbers of fighters are going to be much, much higher. And a lot of that happens because they're going to be inspired by fights like Katie Taylor against Amanda Serrano. That was a big stepping stone. So, you know, if you're a dad and you've got, a daughter, and don't be afraid to take her to the gym if she shows an interest. That's one of the first steps that we can take. And you have to remember, you know your kids, you know the ones that your daughter's more likely to play with dolls, and you know which one's pushing the boys around on the playground. And if you got a tough little girl, well, don't treat her like a delicate flower. You bring her to the gym to see if she can pull off boxing, because she might be inspired by it. And it's, at the very least, maybe she doesn't end up following it all the way or something like that, but boxing teaches you incredible discipline, and that's something I think we could all use in our lives. I know that I could use it a whole lot more, but that's a whole different story. Now, coming up this month, there are some title fights going on right now. Today, actually, you have Celine Lefebvre taking on Melania Saroch. Lefebvre is French, Saroch Spanish, having a nice border war there. Saroch hasn't lost since 2016, but she's lost every time that she has stepped up. Celine is undefeated, only one stoppage on her record, 15 fights. Saroch at 18, 2-2, 6 stoppages. To her credit, she has been stopped once in her career. On the 13th, you're going to have Hannah Rankin taking on Alejandra Ayala. Rankin 11-5, 2 stoppage victories to her credit. But she was knocked out by Savannah Marshall in 2020. But her opponent, Ayala, also knocked out by Savannah Marshall herself in 2018, as Marshall was still developing. Ayala's sitting at 14-5 with 8 stoppages to her credit, so she can punch a bit, but she's had a really, really light kind of level of opposition other than these couple of step-ups where hasn't been able really to rise to the challenge. And that's going to be on the 13th from Glasgow. The 30th, Mio Yoshida will be defending her WBO 115-pound strap against Tamau Ozawa. Yoshida 15-2 with no stoppages on her record. Ozawa 16-5 with 6 to her credit. Has been stopped twice. But Ozawa has lost in all of her 3 prior title attempts. This should be definitely a distance fight, with Yoshida boxing to a clean victory. You'd have to say the bigger fight this month, even though it's not much going on. It's a little bit of a slow month in women's boxing, is on May 21st, which I believe is going to be on the Boazzi undercard. Chantel Cameron putting up her WBC and IBF 140-pound straps against Victoria Noel Bustos. You might remember Bustos losing to Cecilia Brakus in 2018 or 2019, and losing to Katie Taylor in 2018. Bustos, she doesn't throw a lot of hard punches. She throws a bit to the body, but she's not the kind of puncher that's going to be giving Chantel Cameron a lot of trouble. She has gone the distance with both Brakus and Taylor, so she's tough. But they're not the biggest punchers in the sport either. Cameron has a bit of pop to her. She's got a good right hand, and Bustos does have a tendency to lean over to her own right side, kind of leaving the left side of her face open. So if Cameron can hold and maybe feint her into that position and throw a good punch off the shoulder and down on her, she could catch her with something nasty. She does have a good right hand. Her left hand can get a little bit slappy when she's hooking, but she's very, very busy with the jab. probably should be a distance fight, but you never know. Cameron with that right hand could stop her, which, considering the level of opposition and the fact that she hasn't been stopped before, would be a statement. So if she's looking to make a statement to maybe keep Katie out for one more fight and one more weight class or something like that, or maybe make a bid to have a very interesting fight at 147 pounds with Jessica McCaskill, she needs to shine, and this it's a tough opponent to do with. Bustos is very durable. She's just a little bit tricky, but she can be hit. So we'll see what Cameron's able to pull off there, and that's on May 21st. So this isn't like I said, this isn't like the normal Boxing Asylum podcast. It's not a 3-hour run, but I would like to find a co-host, and specifically it would be nice to find a female co-host to focus on this podcast devoted to women's boxing. If you would be interested, send me an email at MattyBoxingAsylum@gmail.com, and I would love to talk to you and see if we can't work out a way to do this. It's once a month, and it would be fantastic to have somebody else to spread around the discussion with, so we could extend the time a little bit. Until that point, this is what we'll be doing, and we'll be back next month to review these fights and see what we're looking at for some June title fights, and we'll be probably discussing a little bit of a preview of the Savannah Marshall Clarissa Shields fight, which does look like it should be on. Thank you for everyone who did hop in today, and I appreciate everyone that just hopped in the chat. I know it's not going to be as many people that normally do the Boxing Asylum Nut House, but I appreciate you guys. We're going to grow this thing as the sport of women's boxing grows, and we will see you back here again next month.
Sports Social Podcast Network.